Hi, everyone. It's wonderful to be back with you. I preached here a couple of years ago, and I have been working with various members of your leadership team over the past few years, and it's great to see faces I know, and yet to be with you, not in a business space or a trying to figure things out space, but in a worship space. It's such a pleasure to be with you, especially as you start this new chapter of your lives. Because 2017, right? No. This year has been different from many in that you can list the major unpleasant changes in monthly and weekly and even daily form sometimes. How many shocking things happened just this month? In other eras, I remember dimly, you might have only a major unpleasant change once or twice a year. Those days seem appealing, don't they? I could go on and on about the justice issues of our day, and the racism, and the environmental threats, and the threat of war, and terrorism, and the fear, and hate mongering. All that is amongst us all the time, especially in this part of the world, especially with the work that I know many of you do. I don't want to diminish how that national and global instability affects our day-to-day living, makes everything tinged with whatever color fear is, and sets all of us on edge. So please, these days, be sure to care for yourself. Love yourself and love your neighbors and try to love your enemies. Love is our best way to counteract what we're experiencing. Love in action in the world, it looks like justice. Seek out love and foster it. I could go on and on about this, but I won't, not today. Because what I want to talk about is the other unpleasant change closer to home, and that is Reverend Anya's recent departure and how you're starting this church year without her. What a thing to add to all the other things. It was only about 6 months ago that you even heard she was leaving, and I know you weren't happy about it. Why would you be? Yet you've done great work over the spring and summer getting your interim, Reverend Wayne, on board and beginning to think of new systems and approaches to your work. I'm sure that you already felt you had your hands full and are not just a little bit peeved that you've had this giant bump in your plans and yet another disruption that is not only unwelcome, but can feel a little bit scary. So let's just take a moment and just growl out loud. Transitions! Change is the worst. And let's also have a moment of love for Reverend Anya and the time you did have with her, and the ways in which her influence and love for you will always be a part of you and how you do church. Let's blow a kiss to Reverend Anya up in New Jersey. I know she thinks fondly about you all the time. And finally, let's have a moment of love and sympathy for each and every one of you. Loss is hard. Put one hand over your heart, and then the other hand over that. And let's just take a moment to recognize that things are different now, and it's sad in many ways. My love goes to all of you. Ministerial transitions can feel so terribly daunting for congregations. You may be used to, you certainly are used to Reverend Anya's leadership. You may not even know what this congregation can be like without her, or you're just learning. You may even feel that without her, there really isn't much to UUCS at all. That's all normal. And that's in part why I'm here, to help you hold the pain and the love and the anger, but also to help you reframe and refocus. Because ministerial transition, and in fact, most upsetting, life-changing turbulence, is a time for reframing and refocusing. And with a healthy dose of time, life-changing turbulence can be the best thing for you and the best thing for your congregation. I know you're thinking, ugh, I do not want to hear about how this bitter medicine is good for me right now. I hear you. But it's still true. A big part of my job is to assure you that you'll be fine, even if your very favorite minister moves on. I do hope you'll remember that. You're going to be fine. Different, challenged, but fine. You are in excellent hands with Reverend Wayne, and I know he will help you identify and articulate your next chapter with great grace. You see, at the end of the day, this isn't Reverend Anya's congregation, no matter how much she is beloved. It's your congregation, and your congregation is a tool for the work of greater good in the world. You have a purpose far beyond any particular staff member you could ever hire. Your congregation's purpose is not to find or support or follow any particular religious leader, although you certainly can and will do so. Your purpose is not even to keep the structures and systems that you currently have going here afloat as best you can. No. Your purpose, your mission, if you will, is something much greater and much more permanent than that. Much greater and more permanent than clergy you call or systems or structures that you create. Your purpose, always and forever, is simply to find out what love and life calls you to do in this time with these people, like on this old-fashioned phone. Are you all familiar with the UU ancestor Theodore Parker? Theodore Parker, yeah? Good, because he wrote a book called The Transient and Permanent in Christianity that was based on an ordination sermon that he delivered in 1841, and I was here when you were all ordaining Andrew Mertz, and I know Reverend Scott Samler Michael referred to it, so I know it's been in this room at least once. So, Unitarian minister Theodore Parker gave a long sermon in 1841, because all the sermons were really long back then, talking about what was permanent and meant to last forever in his religion, which was Unitarian Christianity, and what was transient, something that would wash away over time. Unitarians were all Christians in Parker's day, so please get on your best universal translator hat, if you have one, or if you need one, to interpret what Parker says for modern Unitarian Universalism. So Parker noted back in 1841 how remarkable it is that the words and deeds of Jesus, who spoke of love of God and love of neighbor, and who lived in a way that showed how that love might make a difference, Parker noted that the message of those words and that life had lasted for what at the time were 17 centuries, and now are more than 19 centuries. During the same time, Parker noted, the words of other great people, whose names shook whole continents, though graven in metal and stone, though stamped in institutions and defended by whole tribes of priests and troops of followers, those other men's words have gone to the ground. 17 centuries, now 19, where the great works of other people have arisen and then perished without leaving a mark. 17 centuries of wisdom, intelligence, art, song, religious rituals, honored as divine in their day, now not a trace of which is seen. All of those things fallen by the wayside, Parker notes, but the simple story of Jesus' life and his ability to love and to sacrifice, that word remains through it all. And Parker said, how fleeting is what man calls great, how lasting what God pronounces true. How fleeting what we human beings call great, what we human beings often try to cling to as permanent. We are tempted to think our structures and systems must last forever. How wrong we are. I want to talk about what is transient and what is permanent here at the UU Congregation of Sterling. You are in a time of change and upheaval, and not only that, you're in the midst of a period of giant flux in religion and religious communities in general, which is itself in the midst of a worldwide period of upheaval and discontent. So right here, you folks, you're in like these nesting balls that are all twisting around each other and you're trying to find your feet. Isn't there some sort of pilot training where there's like, you have to kind of... We humans, we Americans, we Unitarian Universalists, we do seem to prefer things to be more settled than these days are. We prefer to know what we're about and upon whom we may rely. We can take only so much change gracefully, and these days we get so much of it that we're not feeling graceful at all, not to mention the kind of change that we're asked to deal with. But if we see these times for what I believe they are, then we may feel more patient and the times may become more fruitful. Because I believe these turbulent times are the ones where we can suddenly see what is transient in our own church, in our own religious lives, and we can learn to recognize and choose the permanent instead. The permanent, for you and for all religious communities in this day and age, is your answer to the question of what love and life are calling you to do in this day with your people. This is the same question and answer, by the way, that Jesus lived, who was a man who answered his call to love and to life and changed the world as a result. If the permanent for you, UUCS, is the way in which you choose to answer the question of what love and life are calling you to do, then what is the transient? Well, like it or not, you've already learned that a beloved minister is transient. Reverend Wayne is transient. This building might be transient. Your committee structures could be transient. Your individual leaders might be transient. Even the words you choose to use to describe your mission are transient. Everything you do can be changed if doing so serves your true purpose. Theodore Parker would say, don't let that worry you. Don't cling to what isn't meant to survive. Cling to that which is meant to anchor you, your core purpose for being, your call to answer that no other group of people can answer in quite the same way. Theodore Parker says, all this has happened before, again and again, and we're still here. And I say to you, from my experience with many congregations, that all this has happened before, again and again. And congregations not only survive as a result, but they thrive. They thrive because they learn to turn their attention away from the pastor, who is transient, away from their governance structure, which is transient, away from any internal dissension, which feels like forever but is transient, and they turn instead towards their mission, their purpose in the world, which is permanent. Here's another way to talk about it based on a quote from theologian Howard Thurman that you may have heard before. This is one of those foundational quotes for me, the kind that every time I hear it, I remember a piece about why I'm doing the work that I do. Howard Thurman tells us that when choosing what to do, how to devote ourselves, of all the choices there are to make, we should choose the work in the world that makes us come alive. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. What the world needs is people who have come alive. I think the world also needs religious communities that have come alive. So as a result, I believe that all of your attention and energy in your congregational life ought to be focused on the thing that makes you come alive and the work that is needed to take you there. Our institutions are not gods. They are vehicles. What is needed now is nimbleness. What is needed now is attention to the permanent and not the transient. That's what we do in times of change. We remember that we are part of a long and endless story of love and hope and humanity that goes back eons and will extend for eons more. So here's Parker again with his timeless words. No doubt an age will come in which ours shall be reckoned a period of darkness, when men groped for the wall but stumbled and fell because they trusted a transient notion, not an eternal truth. An age where temples were full of idols set up by human folly. He that loves God and man and lives in accordance with that love needs not fear what man can do to him. His religion comes to him in his hour of sadness. It lays its hand upon him and raises him up, heals and comforts him. If he is crucified, he shall rise again. We aren't Christian anymore, we UUs, except individually sometimes. But I think this Christian message is one that works for us here. What feels like crucifixion is sometimes the resurrection. Don't be afraid, for we are people of faith, and we are bound to the eternal. What feels like crucifixion is sometimes a resurrection instead. I just saw the folk group Brother Sun at General Assembly again this past June. Do you guys know who Brother Sun is? They're one of those quintessential UU folky groups that that we like to have at General Assembly. So they have a great song I love. Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the power that won't be stopped. Love is the water that wears down the rock. Our attention to the permanent might actually bring down the transient, like water brings down a rock. There's nothing like God to put our false gods into the fire. There's nothing like love to wear away the things that get in love's way. Love is the water that wears down the rock. So when we turn our attention to the permanent, the transient may fall away faster. That may feel extra scary. We don't know what's coming. But the world needs people who have come alive and groups of people who have come alive together. And I believe deep down to the ground that people who have come alive will do God's work one way or another, even if their forms are new and just as transient as the old ones were. I know that the Word of God, the power of love, will not fail, not here at UCS, not in Unitarian Universalism, and not in our world. We can all, working together, turn love into action in just the way we are called to. We can spread a love that will last for centuries. And we at the Unitarian Universalist Association and Reverend Wayne are here to help you do it. So may it be. Amen.